Saul recognizes that David is meant to be king. He is meant to be the next king. He is truly a man from God. I know that you will surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel will be established in your hands.
Welcome back to Unscripted Scripture. I'm Zach here with my buddy Jack.
What's going on?
There he is. Today we are here. It is a new year. Do you have any New Year's resolutions, Jack?
I want to learn how to cook more.
Okay.
Cook more for me and Jenna and others, just to start figuring out meals and things like that.
If you don't know, Jenna is Jack's girlfriend, not his dog. that's a good one. How long do you think you'll go through that resolution?
Dude, probably like 2 weeks.
Two weeks?
I'll probably only make like one meal in that time.
All right.
Do you have any?
Well, since the wedding's come up, I want to look good for my wedding day.
Married. Yeah. Oh, yeah,
I
want
to get married, and I'm going through counseling and all that to do that. But I guess I'm going to do the generic one where I want my body to look better.
Hit the gym.
Going to hit the gym.
Nice.
Or work out hard. I don't know which one yet. But yeah, New Year's resolutions. They only last 2 weeks anyways.
Yeah.
So I can say it, and then we'll talk 2 weeks later, and you can ask me if I'm doing well or not. Mm-hmm.
Once the gyms open around here on Monday, people are going to be swarming.
Yeah.
And then they're going to start to fall out.
I know. Do you see Planet Fitness? We're like sponsoring Planet Fitness. They're doing a free first month.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which,
that's going to be packed.
I know.
But there's no like... Yeah, they're more restrained. They're more like
Planet Fitness is
private. Yeah,
yeah,
a lot of rules.
Yeah, not your local YMCA.
No.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're gonna talk about someone who got a lot of workout in.
Oh yeah.
Big, strong guy. He was able to kill a huge guy. Goliath was his name. So if you haven't guessed already, we're talking about David, and we're not talking about when he killed Goliath. Because many of you know that story. Maybe we'll pick it up another time. But we're going to talk about when David spared King Saul's life.
Hmm.
This was a story that... Do you want to give them the background of why we picked this?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is something that I personally am studying, like, just in devotions, going through 1 and 2 Samuel. But I think this is a great story that relates to a lot of things that... young people struggle with, and especially young men, I think, struggle with this a lot.
You and I struggle with?
Yeah, and I. Self-control and withholding from just evil thoughts and acting on evil thoughts and evil deeds, and maintaining self-control in our daily lives is one of the truest ways to bring us back to righteousness and holiness with God.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to give you some background before we jump in.
The good stuff.
David is just amazing. Yeah.
If you want to read about someone in the Bible, you read about David. He's like your war story kind of guy. Like, just the whole story. You go from 1 Samuel the whole way to 2 Samuel.
All the way through.
The whole way through. And then he writes the Psalms. But that's more of like poetic writing.
So I'll give you a quick rundown of David up until this point in 1 Samuel 24. So... David is anointed to be the next king of Israel by the prophet Samuel after King Saul was rebuked by God. And the Lord rejected Saul as the king because he did not obey him in 1 Samuel 15. And so when the prophet Samuel comes to David, David is a shepherd. And he's a boy. He's a shepherd watching over sheep. And Samuel comes and anoints him, and David is said to be the next king. But then he goes and works in King Saul's court. And by the time we get to 1 Samuel 17, he faces off against the Philistine army, against their greatest soldier, which is Goliath.
Big guy.
Defeats Goliath and kills him. And David becomes a hero immediately to the Israelite army. And from that point on, he becomes a warrior and a soldier, and is faithful to Saul, is faithful to God, But then Saul begins to become corrupt with evil spirits and demons, and the devil was just working in him. Because David's getting a lot of adoration, he's getting a lot of love by the people, and Saul thinks this is a threat to his throne, and that David's going to come and steal his throne and kill off his children. So there's a couple times before 24 where Saul actually tries to take David's life and throws spears at him, and eventually David goes into hiding, and he has to run from Saul. And that's where we pick it up in 24. So David is, he's been in hiding, and
I just want to touch on, so David was like best friends with Jonathan, who was like,
well, Saul's son.
Saul's son, yes. Yeah. So that's like, if you think about you and me, that's like you being the next owner of Castle Rock and my dad's coming for your throne.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. I mean, it's, and Saul, Saul's daughter was married to David. So Saul was actually David's father-in-law.
Okay.
So they were related through that. So David was very close with the family. Mm-hmm. Like, he was close to the royal family, and that's where we understand why Saul is feeling so much rage and jealousy and anger towards David, because he's about to take the throne. He's already marrying my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that's why we're at this stage.
So yeah, we go to 24 after David's running. He pretty much goes to each town, from town to town, and then he ends up going and hiding in a cave.
Yeah, yeah, in a cave. Cave the man. Desert of En Gedi is what it says in 24:1.
Dude, En Gedi, En Gedi.
Sounds like a Star Wars place.
A Star En Gedi. Like that does, yeah. I think I want to call, if I ever get like, I think a youth room, that would be cool to have like a youth room called the En Gedi.
Cave of En Gedi.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Let's do it. Let's become youth pastors and name a youth room.
Yeah, so this is, it started 24. Saul is continuing to pursue the Philistines while also in search of David. So he's in the middle of this war while he's hunting David. And like nobody else, like Jonathan loved David. Michal, his daughter, Saul's daughter, loved David. It's just Saul who's angry and so,
jealous of,
like, all his servants, all his warriors are saying, why are you pursuing David? Like, you should be focused on the Philistines or trying to take your throne, trying to take over Israel. But he's just obsessed. He's obsessed with finding David.
And to our knowledge, David's not doing anything where it would seem like he's just growing the love of people.
Yeah, he's just,
it's not
following,
like, he's
God
coming for King Saul's throat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what Saul just doesn't understand, and David's gonna show him that in 24. But so Saul knows that David might be in the desert of En Gedi, so he takes 3,000 men from Israel to look for David.
An army. He brings an army in the middle of a war to look for David because he's so afraid of David taking over his kingdom.
And that's why, I mean, we can see why God would be displeased with Saul through this. So he came to the sheep pens along the way. A cave was there, and Saul went in to relieve himself. So David and his men were far back in the cave. So Saul went in thinking he was alone, thinking he was going to take a short pee and...
Yeah, relieve himself.
Yep, and then...
Take a nap,
you know.
Take his armor off and...
Yeah, relax, because he's alone, can't be threatened, you know.
Right.
And David's men said to him, this is the day the Lord spoke of, when he said to you, I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish.
So David's men are saying, this is God's gift to you.
Yeah.
Like, this is Saul. God is giving you Saul you're getting a free pass to kill Saul, is what David's men is saying.
But David doesn't think that. And that's the question here is, like, how can we tell the difference between the Lord's opportunity and the devil's temptation? It's that looking at that discernment again and figuring out, no, is this from the Lord or is this the devil tempting me? Because obviously David, hearing his buddies say, you know, this is it. Like, God's giving you Saul. Like, yeah, why wouldn't he give me Saul? Saul's pursuing me. Saul's corrupt with evil. Like, why can't I do this? But then David is David's like, no, this isn't right. This isn't right. And it's back to what we understand about David is that he was a man after God's own heart.
Right. Yeah.
He was the Lord.
That was his label.
Yeah.
He was the man after God's own heart. But back to that temptation thing, like, where they would say, this is God. God is giving you. I don't think it was like a tempt. Because God doesn't give temptations. We look in James 1:21, and it says, or actually, sorry, it's James 1:13. It says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he want to tempt anyone.
Yeah.
So, it's not God who is giving him Saul. Because this is something that David probably wants on his heart.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess people would think he would.
Mm-hmm.
But we can see it's not. But like, this is something that if David kills Saul, he gets the kingdom like he said he's supposed to. And that's why these men are saying that, are saying, David, remember, you're supposed to get the kingdom. Maybe this is God telling you that you're supposed to get the kingdom. And that's tough right there. To know what's God and what's not, I think that's something I struggle with.
Mm.
Like, I'm trying to think of an example. I just got an apartment because me and Jacqueline are getting married. And so we got an apartment. We're not getting married for another 4 months. And so, like every other married couple, the temptation is there. So we were thinking, is this right? That we are getting an apartment 4 months before our marriage. We're not moving in together, but there's still a place, you know, mm-hmm. where there could be a temptation to arise. And we had to ask, like, is this something that God, how can we serve God with this? And what we came up was that we were going to use it as a place to study for young adults, and just hang out with other groups of people to serve God and not have it where it was somewhere we could stay. So that was something where we had to decide, okay, God's putting this apartment in our lives or is he not? Is it God that's putting it in our lives? And we made it so we found a way that God was going to put it in our lives.
Yeah, because God gives us the option to choose. He always gives us the chance to choose the right from wrong. Mm. And this is in the same as David's case, the same as you and Jacqueline with the house. Like, there's always opportunity to do right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how we come to understand David as a man of integrity and honesty and self-control. And because he's able to look at people not as man does, but as the Lord does. And the way we see that is David, instead of taking Saul's life, he creeps up unnoticed and he cuts off a corner of Saul's robe while the guy's peeing, while he's relieving himself. How does nobody notice that?
Yeah.
In a quiet cave, like
King
nobody
Saul,
around.
Come on, he's a long peer, man.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. Or maybe he's just taking a nap, you know, he's
an
loud
old man.
Snoozer.
Yeah.
Right.
He has no idea what's going on.
But imagine David, like, all right, cutting off the coat and then sneaking away, and all the guys, all David's men are like, what is going on?
What's happening?
Just kill him, David. And David's like, no, I'll show you.
But David was conscience stricken for doing that. So even just cutting off his robe,
he felt like was too much.
David was guilty. Yeah, he felt guilty.
Yeah.
And imagine like killing Saul. And the thought of having to do that, like, how much guilt he would have felt for taking his life. That right there shows.
Well, it's his father-in-law, wife's father, so.
But he's the king first.
Through all this, he would feel guilty.
Yeah.
But still, that took a lot of self-control to know that David didn't have to. Like, David had the chance to kill him, and he.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, but
and that's what he teaches his men. Like, I think it's more a lesson for his men than anybody. Well, Saul learned something from him too, but the men understanding that God's, like, I'm getting ahead of myself, but the next part he says to them is, the Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lay my hand on him, for he is the anointed of the Lord. So showing them, like, God has, no matter how far away Saul has fallen, he's still God's anointed king.
Mm-hmm.
he was anointed with oil and declared the king of Israel. And so for David to take away the life of the Lord's anointed, it'd just be a curse upon God. And that's what I think he's teaching the men here, is that you can't attack someone out of anger, out of vengeance, and this desire for revenge, and like this eye for an eye, which our world teaches so much, like an eye for an eye. Yeah. Like someone does wrong to you, do wrong unto them, and that's not the case. Like an eye for an eye is not what the Bible teaches and what God wants. He talks about turning the other turning the other cheek and keeping that self-control, and David does that. But with these words in 7, he says, after he tells his men, he says, with these words, David sharply rebuked his men. He didn't allow them to attack Saul, and Saul left the cave with a torn robe and went on his way.
Didn't even notice. I watched this video on Facebook the other day of this girl was on a plane, and she put her hair over the seat of her seat. The person behind her couldn't even see their TV screen, and the person behind kept on trying to move it. Mm-hmm. Well, the girl didn't move it. So what this passenger behind did, she started chewing gum and putting gum in the girl's hair, the lady's hair, and the girl never realized. I mean, the video ended, and she got up and went. The girl got up and went to the bathroom.
I'm sure
and
she found it.
She found out in the bathroom, I'm sure, but I didn't see what else. But that's what I thought of when I was reading this.
Someone
and
so
clueless. I thought of, yeah.
They can't feel gum in their hair?
I guess.
All this weight on the back.
Or Saul can't feel his robe being cut. Yeah. I mean, Jack has this action Bible. It's like comics, and there's a picture in it. Maybe we'll post it on our Instagram story.
Yeah.
But there's a picture of the cloth getting cut. And, I mean, it's just a small piece, so I can see how you wouldn't notice that. But still... Yeah. How can you not notice when someone comes up and walks behind you and cuts your... Like, if someone would cut
in
my hair, I would notice.
In silence, like...
Or cut my... Yeah. Sneaky Saul. David.
Sneaky David.
He kills a giant with a stone and cuts a king's cloth off.
Yeah.
Sneaky. Man, what traits... He has some awesome traits. Good hiding
David.
Secret, probably.
Oh, man. Well, he was a warrior. He was a hunter. He was a soldier.
True.
And... I mean, he was able to evade Saul, and I'm sure he could have spent the rest of his life trying to run from him, but he wanted to show him that, like, you have no need to hunt me down. Nothing, you should fear nothing from me, because I'm from God, and you're from God, and I'm not bent on harming you, which is what he says in the next part. He calls out to Saul as Saul's leaving, "My lord, the king!" And Saul turns around, probably perplexed and confused, because I was just in there taking a pee break.
Yeah.
Everybody watch me. David bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. He bowed down to Saul.
That's crazy.
He said, "Why do you listen when men say David is bent on harming you? For this day you have seen with your own eyes how the Lord delivered you into my hands in the cave. Some urged me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, I will not lay my hand on my Lord, because he is the Lord's anointed. See, my father, look at this piece of robe in my hand. I cut off the corner, but did not kill you. See that there is nothing in my hand to indicate that I am guilty of wrongdoing or rebellion. I have not wronged you, but you are hunting me down to take my life. May the Lord judge between you and me, and may the Lord avenge the wrongs you have done to me, but my hand will not touch you. And as the old saying goes, from evil doers come evil deeds, so my hand will not touch you."
I think that last part goes from your eye to eye.
Yeah.
From what the old sayers say, from evil doers become evil deeds. No, I take that back. That's saying more like, if you do this, then you're an evil person.
Yeah.
Like, if you do something bad,
you become an evil doer.
You're bad. Yeah.
I mean, so if David had killed Saul, he would be recognized as that evil doer, the man who killed God's anointed. And he's saying, that's not who I am. Mm-hmm. I'm not that evil. And
what does Saul have to say for that?
Saul says later on, "Is that your voice, David, my son?" And he wept aloud. Says, "You are more righteous than I." So Saul recognizes that David is stronger. And David has more willpower and more self-control than Saul ever will and ever has. And he says, "You have treated me well, but I have treated you badly. You have just now told me about the good deed you did to me. The Lord delivered me into your hands, but you did not kill me. When a man finds his enemy, does he let him get away unharmed? May the Lord reward you well for the way you treated me today." And this is this next part. Like, Saul recognizes that David is meant to be king. He is meant to be the next king. He is truly a man from God. "I know that you will surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel will be established in your hands." But he makes David swear to him. He says, "Swear to me that you will not kill off my descendants or wipe out my name from my father's family."
Because that was his fear.
Yeah, that was the thing. That was the fear that he would take over the throne and kill off his children.
Right, and that's why he didn't want him to become in charge.
Yeah.
So I felt like this was like finally the point where, you know, like you go through, we'll say girls. Girls go through this gossip game and they fight back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Mm. I mean, it seems like it's just Saul fighting David here. It's not, it's a one-way fight. But anyways, until you get down and you talk and you communicate, seems like it didn't go anywhere. And David's like, "Hey, I respect you."
Yeah.
Like, you are the king right now and you will be the king until it's my turn, until you're done and it's my turn. And then Saul's like, "Okay, like, I understand that. Like, you have shown greatness to me, but can you please promise me you won't do this, this, and this?" I think that's a lesson of communication.
Yeah.
We always find so many things in our stories that we read that we can be like, "Oh, wow." But that's one of them, I think.
Mm-hmm. And Saul doesn't, he just didn't understand. He was so wrapped up in his own views. He didn't take time to listen to David. He didn't take time to listen to Jonathan, his own son. He was just consumed with this obsessive need to keep power and remain in power and control everything. But he didn't have trust in David. He didn't have trust in his own family. And David's like, David has this love for Jonathan, this love for Michal, and he would never hurt his family. And Saul just didn't understand that. But going forward, David did give his, he promised Saul that he wouldn't touch his family. But Saul returned home while David and his men just stayed in hiding. So though David withheld from that vengeance and that,
and
that rage,
was made.
And the peace was made, Saul understood it, there wasn't, all the trust wasn't there.
Yeah.
There was still distrust and
it wasn't like, "Come son, come home with me," or something like that.
There wasn't like, David still, he knew there was still an evil spirit in Saul and that he couldn't just go because Saul will continue to pester David and he'll still have that in his mind that he's about to take my throne, he's about to take my throne. So there just couldn't be that trust and it's not until David, Saul is eventually killed in battle, that David takes up the throne after he weeps for Saul's death. He weeps for that.
Yeah.
But before that happens, like again in verse 20, in chapter 26, David again spares Saul's life. So it happens again where the Lord Saul is put into David's hands, and again his men are like, "You gotta kill him, you gotta kill him," and again he spares his life. And
because I'm sure that was the way of it back then. Like, the only way you become king, you watch all these old movies, is you have to dethrone the king. You watch Lion King. I mean, it was, Scar had to kill Mufasa in order to get the kingdom.
Yeah.
I mean, they were brothers, but
still. Father-in-law and son-in-law.
True.
Right
true.
Here.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, it's dangerous, like this. Yeah, like how we related to Lion King, but that's true. Like that's what his men were saying to David. Like, if you want the throne, you got to take it.
The hyenas.
And the hyenas. Yeah, like you got to get it. You got to get them. But like, if they feel like the Lord's putting Saul into David's hands, they're like, "Yeah, take the bait, man. Why wouldn't you kill him?"
Yeah.
And he's like, "I can't do it. I can't do it." And that's this is what we learned so much about David, is this, like, this heart of self-control and this heart of maintaining integrity is next to none, and one of the greatest in the Bible, of someone who ignored what people were telling him, ignored, like, how the world normally acts, and saying, I can't do that to somebody. I can't give in to that temptation because I know it's going to lead me down the wrong path. He's going to feel that guilt. He's going to feel that, you know, rage and shame, and he just didn't want to endure that because he already felt it by cutting the man's robe.
Right, he already felt guilt it just in that. By that.
Like, so he couldn't even imagine what he would feel, and I think that's the great place to leave off when we think about this word for this week and how we relate it so much to David and his journey in refuge and in hiding and eventually becoming king. We'll challenge you to continue to read through 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel as David is tested in so many different ways, and he falls into a great sin in 2 Samuel 11, I think it is, and it's ultimate test of him as a king. But before that, just understanding the rest of this battle with Saul and battle with temptation, mm-hmm. as that he faces before coming to the throne.
And even the fun of him being on the throne and the stuff, the great things he does.
Yeah.
Like, it's a fun read.
It's really, you know, fun.
Some people don't want to dive into the Bible because they're like, I don't understand. Like, it's easy to understand. This is storybook reading right here.
Mm-hmm.
The story of David. So, yeah, jump into it.
That's it, yeah. And please reach out to us. Connect with us. We have so many different ways you guys can get a hold of us. We'd love to connect with you, because I think that's the biggest thing that we want to get out of this, is connecting with our audience. And that's what we hope just makes us different from other podcasts, is that we're able to hear from you, talk with you through the Anchor voice messages. Super easy to do. Just click on it, the episode that you want to talk about, and just send us a message and we'll get back to you. Yeah. And
we have a link in all of our descriptions. It's just at the bottom of our description. If you just click on that link, it'll bring you right to the page, and then you can just record your voice.
Yep. And along with that, like, DM us on Instagram, send us a message there, or comment on a tweet, and we'll be sure to get back to you. So just thank you for listening. Continue to challenge yourself, continue to read through the Word, and we'll see you next week.